And we are going to start our second session. We have still about three at least speakers. Our next speaker is Tangra Brahima, and he's going to give his presentation in French. So I will not be able to ask him any question. That's intention. But the title of his talk in French, I'll try my best to translate it into English. I think the drip irrigation as an appropriate technique for the production of sweet potato in Sahelian Mali. Is that correct? Is my translation correct? Correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Bonjour à toutes, bonjour à tous. Je m'appelle Brahima Tangra. Je travaille pour l'Institut d'économie rurale du Mali, une structure de recherche au service du développement rural. Tout le plaisir est pour moi cet après-midi de partager avec vous le contenu d'une communication sur l'irrigation goutte à goutte, une technologie appropriée pour la production de la patate douce en zone sahélienne du Mali. Donc, le plan de présentation, vous aurez droit à une introduction, matériel et méthode, résultats, discussions, conclusions et remerciements. Donc, au regard de la grande vulnérabilité des ménages en zone semi-aride de l'Afrique de l'Ouest, des structures de recherche comme le CORAF, ILRI et les Services nationaux de recherche agricole et les ONG ont mis au point un projet de recherche-action avec comme objectif d'assurer une large intensification de l'agriculture irriguée. Et un des objectifs, c'est de renforcer la résilience des ménages et des communautés fragiles au regard des changements climatiques. Et notre communication va répondre à un des objectifs pertinents de ce projet, à savoir la recherche pour la promotion de technologies adaptées à la gestion de l'eau, de la fertilité des sols et des fourrages de post-récolte. Donc, comme approche, il s'agit d'introduire en milieu paysan le système d'irrigation goutte à goutte et des techniques d'agronomie appropriées pour la production de la patate douce. Et pour y parvenir, cette pratique a été comparée à celle de la conduite paysanne de production de la patate. Donc, deux sites d'études ont été retenus. Il s'agit des exploitations du village de Farakan en zone subhumide de pluviométrie entre 800 et 1000 mm par an, et le village de Kouyangoura en zone sahélienne, en pleine zone au fil du Niger, avec des pluviométries de 500 à 600 mm par an. Donc, vous voyez sur la carte ces deux sites. Et ça, c'est le village de Kouyangoura et ça, c'est le village de Farakan. Donc, le matériel végétal qui a été utilisé, c'est la variété 8376 TIS de patate douce. C'est une variété qui a un cycle de 120 jours. Et comme vous le voyez sur la photo, la peau est rouge avec la chair blanche. C'est une variété plus sucrée avec des feuilles levées à nervures vertes. Le critère de choix s'appuie sur un certain nombre de critères, à savoir la valeur marchande de la spéculation, qui est très élevée, sa consommation, qui est appréciée en milieu rural, et son haut potentiel en fourrage, ainsi que la facilité d'intégration de cette spéculation dans les systèmes intensifs de production mixte en raison de son cycle court. Donc, le matériel d'irrigation à promouvoir, nous avons une motopompe, comme vous voyez là, à essence. Donc, des tuyauteries d'aspiration munies de crépines et de refoulements pour pouvoir mobiliser l'eau depuis la source jusqu'au niveau d'un baril qu'on appelle un château, qui est d'une capacité de 200 litres, servant de château pour ce type d'irrigation goutte à goutte. Donc, ce château, on a également un support qui pourra soutenir le château et des kits d'irrigation pour une superficie de 500 mètres carrés, constitués de porte-rampes, de rampes d'irrigation, de vannes de coude et puis des joints d'étanchéité. Et voilà une photo d'une parcelle déjà équipée en système d'irrigation goutte à goutte. Donc, le matériel d'irrigation paysan, c'est des matériels qui sont très variables. Vous avez de la calebasse ou bien des seaux d'eau qui permettent d'apporter de l'eau sur les pieds, au niveau des pieds de la spéculation. Et j'utilise également la charrue pour faire le labour et puis le bionnage des parcelles test et des parcelles paysannes ont été faits avec la charrue. Des roues pour le sarclobinage des parcelles. Et vous avez des amendements minéraux sur la formule de 10N, 10P et 4K à la dose de 1500 kg par hectare apportée en trois fractions à raison de 500 kg par hectare comme engrais de fond. Un mois après la plantation et puis deux mois après la plantation. Donc, en termes de protection phytosanitaire, vous avez le D6 qui a été utilisé au besoin, à raison de 100 ml par hectare foliaire. Donc, le dispositif expérimental est constitué de 6 paysans, des parcelles de 6 paysans, dont 3 par site, et chaque paysan avait une parcelle de 1000 m² répartie en sous-parcelles de 250 m². Et vous voyez que deux parcelles contiguës pour le même paysan ont été équipées en système d'irrigation goutte à goutte, tandis que les deux autres parcelles contiguës correspondent à la pratique paysanne. Et vous avez une rigole qui a été mise en place. Et de part de cette rigole, vous avez perpendiculairement des lignes de patates douces qui sont plantées à des écartements de 2 mètres sur 0,5. Donc, au total, nous avons 12 traitements par pratique d'irrigation, ce qui fait au total 24 traitements. Donc, la méthodologie de suivi des collectes, nous avons un planning d'irrigation qui a été mis en place suivant les besoins en eau de la culture et appliqué sur les traitements tests. Des fiches ont été conçues pour le suivi des indicateurs et les données ont été saisies sur Excel. La méthodologie d'analyse de variance avec le logiciel GenStat a été utilisée. Les variables analysées ont été la consommation en eau, le rendement en tubercule et en fourrage, le nombre d'irrigation, le temps d'irrigation, et en fonction des sites, des systèmes d'irrigation et des traitements, et en fonction des paysans. Donc, une analyse des interactions entre ces différents facteurs suscités ont été faits, et on a fait une évaluation des rentabilités économiques sur une superficie élémentaire de 250 m². Les paramètres qui ont été pris en compte dans cette évaluation économique sont les charges par rapport à la préparation de la parcelle, à l'achat d'intrants agricoles, à l'irrigation, à la main-d'œuvre, par rapport à la plantation de la culture, le désherbage, le bionnage, le transport et l'apport d'intrants, la récolte et le transport des produits agricoles. Et nous avons également les produits qui ont été évalués, les tubercules et le fourrage. Donc, en termes de résultats, en ce qui concerne la consommation en eau d'irrigation, vous voyez que le niveau de consommation est hautement significatif quand on part d'un site à un autre et d'un système à un autre système d'irrigation, du système d'irrigation goutte à goutte, système traditionnel. Donc, les consommations vont du simple au double. Et là également, on a remarqué qu'on a une bonne répartition de l'eau sur les superficies équipées en goutte à goutte, à environ 1 litre par heure et par goutteur, avec une efficience de répartition de l'eau de l'ordre de 90%. Donc, également, quand on remarque là, vous allez voir que en termes d'interaction entre sites et systèmes d'irrigation sur la quantité d'eau consommée, donc vous allez voir aisément que, quel que soit le site, le goutte à goutte, et la différence de consommation entre le goutte à goutte et le système paysan est significative. Et au niveau de la pratique paysanne également, vous allez voir qu'il y a une différence pourvu qu'on soit dans un site ou dans l'autre. Donc, la productivité de l'eau a été évaluée à l'ordre de 1268 francs CFA par mètre cube, ce qui est considéré comme une bonne productivité en comparaison à d'autres tubercules comme la pomme de terre. Donc, par rapport à la production en tubercule et en fourrage, donc, nous voyons également que le rendement d'un site à un autre est très hautement significatif et est significatif entre les deux systèmes d'irrigation traditionnels et goutte à goutte. Donc, la productivité de la culture est de l'ordre de 12,68 kg par mètre cube comparé à d'autres spéculations telles que la pomme de terre, elle est considérée comme bonne. Et si on vend là, par exemple, si on vend le kilogramme de la patate à 100 francs au prix Borchamps, on a une productivité qui est de l'ordre de 1268 francs CFA par mètre cube consommé. D'un site à un autre, en ce qui concerne la production de fourrage, donc il n'y a pas de variabilité, c'est-à-dire il n'y a pas de variabilité entre les deux valeurs. Par contre, entre le goutte à goutte et le système traditionnel, les valeurs sont vraiment significatives. En termes de temps d'irrigation, nous voyons que le système d'irrigation goutte à goutte a enregistré 2 fois plus de nombre d'irrigation et 9 fois plus d'heures pendant toute la campagne par rapport au système traditionnel. La différence des temps d'irrigation du système goutte à goutte et du système d'irrigation paysan s'explique par le fait que la capacité du château qui est très faible. Donc 200 litres, un château de 200 litres, donc ça nécessite au moins 6 remplissages et autant d'arrêts et autant de mise en marche, ce qui fait qu'on a plus de temps d'irrigation sur le goutte à goutte par rapport au système paysan. Pour l'analyse économique, nous voyons aisément sur ce tableau que, quel qu'en soit le système d'irrigation, que ce soit la patate douce ou que ce soit le goutte à goutte, que ce soit le goutte à goutte ou que ce soit le système traditionnel, la production et la culture de la patate douce, elle est rentable. Parce qu'on parvient à enregistrer une marge de 100 000 francs CFA sur une superficie de 0,025 hectares. Donc, en extrapolant à l'hectare, on est dans les 4 millions environ, ce qui est environ égal à 60 000 euros par hectare. Les marges bénéficiaires ont été plus élevées dans le site de Kouyangoura, par exemple, dans le site de Kouyangoura par rapport à Farakan, avec un écart de 70%. Les revenus tirés des parcelles d'irrigation goutte à goutte ont été rentables et supérieurs à ceux de la pratique paysanne. En termes de discussion, nous allons voir que l'étude nous a permis quand même de caractériser les pratiques en termes d'irrigation, de pratiques d'irrigation, d'agronomie et socio-économie, de production de la patate douce. Et nous voyons que nos rendements sont de 52,5% par rapport à la moyenne mondiale de 12 tonnes indiquée par cette étude en 1995. Et de l'ordre de 260% par rapport à la moyenne de 5 tonnes pour l'Afrique subsaharienne. Mais quand même, ces mêmes résultats sont inférieurs à ceux produits par le Sénégal, qui fait 50 tonnes à l'hectare. Cette différence avec le Sénégal pourrait s'expliquer par l'installation tardive de la culture et le faible taux de reprise des plants et de l'installation précoce des pluies. Les risques d'engorgement des sols sont quand même réduits, voire inexistants, parce que si on voit en compte saison 2012, 17% des traitements paysans ont été victimes d'inondations, avec un taux de perte de 40% de la production. Les besoins de référence de la culture étant presque similaires dans tous les deux sites, parce que si tu vois Farakan, ça fait 4600 m3 par hectare, Kouyangoura 5300 m3 par hectare, les fortes consommations à Farakan pourraient s'expliquer d'une part par la diversité des modes d'irrigation paysanne, et d'autre part par le taux d'humidité qui est très élevé au niveau du site de Kouyangoura avec 570 m3 par hectare dans les 40 premiers centimètres du sol avec une nappe qui est à moins de 2 mètres de la surface du sol. À cause de cette contribution de l'humidité du sol aux besoins en eau, les consommations enregistrées sont largement en dessous de la référence, deux fois moins sur le site de Farakan et 3 fois moins sur le site de Kouyangoura où la nappe est vraiment presque subaffleurante. Donc, et cela, quel que soit le système d'irrigation. Le plus de temps d'irrigation goutte à goutte peut être compensé par la mise en place d'un château de 1000 litres. Une fois rempli, ça pourrait prendre en compte les besoins en eau journaliers de la culture sur la superficie élémentaire de 250 m². Malgré les investissements, nous voyons que le goutte à goutte a été toujours rentable. Et si le coût de production a été de 400 francs CFA en kilogramme en 2012, ils sont redevenus raisonnables à 89 francs par CFA par kilogramme en 2013. Donc, il est à noter que le kit d'irrigation peut faire au moins 5 campagnes si les paysans parviennent à la ranger dans les bonnes conditions. Et j'aurais appris dans la salle que ça peut aller jusqu'à 10 ans, voire 15 ans. Cette prometteuse stratégie d'intensification agricole basée sur la mise en place des paquets techniques performants de gestion intégrée de la production de patates douces au profit des petits agriculteurs et leur bétail permettra sans nul doute de renforcer la résilience de leurs moyens de subsistance dans un contexte de changement climatique. Il est donc impérieux que les décideurs portent une attention particulière à la diffusion et à l'adaptation d'un texte de technologie pour permettre la population des petits producteurs et des productrices à être résilients. Donc, je ne saurais terminer sans remercier les auteurs. D'abord, les membres de la plateforme, parce que les paysans qui ont été choisis pour mener l'expérimentation ont été choisis dans le cadre d'un groupe de travail qui a été mis en place, qu'on appelle une plateforme d'innovation. Et c'est autour de ces paysans qui étaient au cœur de toutes les activités. Donc, on a travaillé avec eux, ce sont eux qui ont mené les expérimentations. Et au jour d'aujourd'hui, ils sont en mesure de mettre en place ces kits et de pouvoir continuer à travailler avec les matériaux qui ont été mis à disposition. Nos remerciements vont également au CERDIE pour le financement de l'étude, le CORAF pour la coordination régionale et des appuis scientifiques, et l'ICA-UMR-JO pour pouvoir permettre une large diffusion à travers de ce colloque de ces résultats-là. Merci de votre attention.
Thank you very much. Any question? Yes, please. Can you say, well, the reporter told me that you should say your name before you ask a question. He's looking at me, so I remember now. So please say your name, where you come from, your organization, and then fire the question.
My name is Victoria Lilti. I'm a student in Montpellier Supagro. To an agronomy school. I was wondering how you chose the average façon français.
Oui, si vous voulez.
How you?
Très bien. Très bien.
How? Can you say the question again?
I was wondering how you chose the farmers. Comment vous avez choisi les paysans pour votre étude? Si c'était aléatoire, si c'était des gens avec qui vous aviez déjà travaillé par rapport à. Ce qu'on disait ce matin, je ne sais pas si vous étiez là sur la formation des gens et le fait qu'ils doivent avoir accès à des connaissances pour appréhender le goutte à goutte.
Okay. Before we start, Pierre, can you translate the question in English?
I asked how they chose the farmers regarding if they chose it randomly or if they had worked with them before regarding what they need to know about drips, stems.
Thank you.
Et voilà, donc je disais au départ que ce projet a été mis en place en collaboration avec des producteurs. Avant le démarrage des activités du projet, c'est un outil d'abord qu'on appelle l'outil Goblet qui a mis en place les sites d'expérimentation, qui a choisi les sites d'expérimentation. Et une fois au niveau des sites, on a rencontré les paysans, parce que c'est avec eux qu'on va travailler, c'est eux qui vont être au cœur des activités. Donc, on a mis en place une plateforme d'innovation au niveau de chaque site. Et cette plateforme d'innovation, c'est un forum d'acteurs, de paysans qui sont là, qui discutent de leurs contraintes et qui voient comment lever les différentes contraintes. Donc, ce sont ces paysans-là qui ont choisi non seulement la variété qui convient pour sa haute valeur marchande, sa consommation et sa haute production en fourrage. Donc, à l'intérieur de ces paysans, ce sont les paysans eux-mêmes qui ont décidé de choisir ceux qui se portent volontaires pour pouvoir conduire l'expérimentation. Mm-hmm. Voilà.
Okay. Pierre, can you translate to the audience the reply? Do we need a microphone to translate? Or the microphone is here, actually.
Yes. Well, you understand the question. You translate for
this is a check if you have been focusing on what he said or not, or you fell asleep.
So he said that they chose that the project chose first the area, and then they went on these selected areas and they selected farmers after discussing with them, and that the farmers had a big. Role in deciding what was going on. They chose the variety of sweet potato, and they chose Yeah, the constraints. So there was some innovating platforms. Okay, so apparently the innovation platforms chose farmers which were farmers among volunteers on the selected areas.
Okay, thank you. Any other question? There's a question at the back there.
Merci pour la présentation. Je vais. Yeah.
Don't forget you'll translate the answer as well, yeah?
I have to concentrate. So je veux connaître si vous avez inclus les prix concernant les charges de production, si vous avez inclus les charges concernant l'électricité, l'énergie, les pompages, le prix de pompage et les aires de pompage.
L'énergie, c'est-à-dire on a estimé le coût de pompage, hein, c'est-à-dire mettre de l'essence dans le moteur. Tout ce qui est lubrifiant, carburant, on les a évalués, ce qui nous a permis de calculer, c'est-à-dire le coût de pompage pour mobiliser l'eau.
Est-ce que vous avez inclus ça dans les charges
oui.
de production
oui.
ou non?
C'est dedans.
Ok.
Yeah, go ahead and translate now.
I want to know if he include the cost of production in the cost of production the cost of energy. Mm-hmm. So he asked that he already include that by the hour, different hour of pumping.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other question on translation? No? Yes, please.
I am Bernard Lacroix from Arvalis. You show us labor for drip irrigation much more than traditional systems. Is it a constraint for you? For them, for peasants, of course.
A constraint for the peasants?
Labor, le travail. Much more
non.
work.
Oui.
It is not a problem for paysans?
Non, les paysans disent qu'ils n'ont aucun problème avec ça. Hein. Ça leur permet d'ailleurs de gagner du temps.
Yes.
D'autant plus que ils maîtrisent la technologie. Ils savent comment monter un kit d'irrigation. Après le projet, ils sont en train de travailler avec. Ils savent comment les arranger. Ils savent comment travailler avec. En cas de bouchage, ils savent qu'avant de démarrer toute irrigation, il faut faire le nettoyage de l'installation, les filtres, ainsi de suite, le réseau, et voilà. En tout cas, pour le moment, ils n'ont pas de contraintes, d'autant plus qu'ils n'ont pas payé le matériel qu'on les a fourni. Donc, c'est le projet qui a payé le matériel pour eux. Donc, ils sont en train de valoriser.
OK.
Voilà.
Equipment is paid by somebody, by the project, mm-hmm. and labor is not a problem for them.
Yes.
Yes? OK.
It's not a problem. The labor. No? Mm-hmm. But also, as you mentioned now, the traditional system used more water and produced something like 12 tons per hectare, while the drip irrigation produced about 18 tons per hectare yield. So you added more water for traditional system and you got less yield. How can you explain that?
I don't know what you say. more, oui.
Avec le système traditionnel, vous utilisez plus d'eau.
Oui.
Vous avez une production qui est beaucoup plus basse.
Oui.
Comment vous pouvez vous expliquer ce résultat?
Oui, effectivement, parce que la patate douce n'aime pas qu'on l'asperge d'eau tout le temps. Parce qu'à un certain stade, quand la patate commence à former des bulles, donc, trop d'eau, ça rend le pourrissement des tubercules. Mais ils ne savent pas comment quantifier les apports. Ils mettent l'eau comme ça, et voilà.
Can you explain what... Well, for everyone, not only for me.
Vous avez d'autres problèmes de fresh water. And farmers don't know the quantity of water that's going to be applied.
Sweet potato cannot transport or too much water.
I told that the answer was farmers apply too much water, and the crop doesn't grow when it has too much water, and farmers don't adapt the quantity of water they apply.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any more question? Otherwise, sweet potato and sweet presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Our next speaker is Mahjoub Arash from Iran, and his presentation is about estimation soil salinity of sugar cane, another thing sweet, sugar cane root zone in different management of irrigation and drainage using the salt mod in Imam Khomeini agro industry.
Good afternoon. With respect and permission of panel committee, I start my presentation on subject of estimation the soil salinity of sugarcane root zone in different management of irrigation and drainage using SalMod in Khuzestan province. This day, Iran has very stress in water and is getting year to year is getting worse, unfortunately. According to the figure one, you can see that more than 40% of area depend to irrigation system and water. And unfortunately, now Iran with consumption of more than 74% of its water renewable has passed from a stage of water stress and is close to the water crisis. Khuzestan province in the southwest of Iran is the most of city in agriculture and producing of different crop, and approximately 1 million hectare of land is under irrigation and drainage in the Khuzestan. In addition, we have 125,000 hectares of sugarcane in Khuzestan province in Karun Basin, in the north of Ahvaz city and the south of Ahvaz. This study was done in the Imam Khomeini sugarcane industry near the Ahvaz city. Sugarcane is one of the plants that has high water requirement in Khuzestan. Several studies have been done on sugarcane show that water requirement that show that water applied is more than the actual water requirement of the planet. The irrigation system is surface irrigation, but unfortunately, with irrigation efficiency is about 41%, and the rest of the irrigation must be drained out and delivered to the river. It causes many challenges in Khuzestan, such as high volume of drainage water, very poor quality drainage water, and lack of suitable outlet. And what should we do? We have to change the common method of irrigation and drainage system in Khuzestan and all of the country, of course. The objective of this present were to predict the effect of different management of irrigation and drainage on root zone salinity, drain discharge rate, and water table depth in the sugarcane area using the salt mud model. I present you some brief picture of about the salt mud model that was written by Professor Osterman from Netherlands. This model is a computer program for the prediction of the salinity of soil moisture, groundwater, and drainage water, the depth of water table, and the drain discharge in irrigated agricultural land using different varying water management options. In the picture, you can see the four different reservoir this model can be considered: surface reservoir, root zone, transition zone, and aquifer. And you can choose four scenario about the rotation crop or rotation code, K and SR, with 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 0 means no crop rotation, like sugar cane. Some factor in this model could not be measured, and you have to calibrate the leaching, like the leaching efficiency and the natural drainage. And this can be done by trial with salt mud using different values of leaching efficiency and natural drainage, choosing those values that produce soil salinity and depth to groundwater table that corresponded with the actually measured values. In this picture, we can see the layout of the irrigation system and drainage in Imam Khomeini sugarcane industry, and water table control device and soil sampling for monitoring. But for calibration of the leaching efficiency, you can give some different of values of leaching efficiency to model, like 0.2, 0.5, 4, 0.6, and 0.8. And salinity levels of the root zone were obtained from the model. According to the simulation, leaching efficiency 0.6 is the best match to the observed value, and this was used in all collection. For determination of the natural subsurface drainage, we have in sugarcane in Khuzestan two seasons. One season, irrigation season, about 8 months in summer as in spring, and 4 months we don't have any irrigation. But we choose to pair the data, as you can see, 0, 0, 0.06, and 0.03, and the other data. And according to the simulation, you can choose the best that it's near the water table that you give in data in your field, and comparing with the simulation, you can choose the best drainage, natural drainage water. That in this model, we choose the 0.0942 season. The first season, irrigation season, is 0.06, and another season, 0.03. And in this picture, we can see the summary of input data, like duration of season, soil properties, water balance component, potential evaporation crop in season one, and drainage criteria and system parameters and initial and boundary condition value measure as average. Effect change in irrigation depth on the root zone salinity. According to the study that was done, water supply for 8 months is about 4 meters, equal 40,000 cubic meter per hectare in sugarcane. We choose 4 data for water apply, 2.8, 3.2, and 3.6, and 4 meters. And according to the result, you can see the by reduction of water irrigation to 20% means water depth or water applied 3.2, a significant increase in soil salinity have not seen. And by reducing water irrigation by 30%, average root zone salinity increased to about 3 decisimens per meter. In addition to soil salinity, you can see the amount of drainage water, depth of water table, and irrigation efficiency and sufficiency in this table. That no limitation in drainage in water table, and I told you in soil salinity, but irrigation efficiency is getting better, and drainage water is getting low. In scenario of third scenario. And this table, you can see the drainage depth, the depth of subsurface drainage, because in Khuzestan we have another problem about the depth of drainage water. Subsurface drainage in Khuzestan is about 2.2, but we don't need to this depth because the quality of drainage water is very bad, and we have to change the drainage depth to the depth, for example, 1.7 or 1.5 in all area in Khuzestan. According to this, we try to model 4 scenario, 1.3, 1.5, 1.7, and 1.8, and 2. You can see the deeper drain depths than 1.7 meters will not be of any significant advantages. Nowadays, in Khuzestan province, year to year, the quality of Karun River is getting worse, unfortunately. And for this reason, I try to obtain some information about if the change of qualities occur, what should we do? And sugarcane probably crop yield maybe is decrease. And according to the simulation, you can see when electric conductivity of irrigation water with more than 1.7 decisimens per meter, soil salinity in the root zone would be more than 3 decisimens and per meter, and it caused decrease of crop yield of sugarcane. Salt mode is a useful tool for prediction of soil salinity and drainage water. the groundwater table, drainage D-star, and varying water management. With 20% reduction in irrigation water, no limitation appear on soil salinity and water table day. Drainage outflow depth from about 2.07 meter during irrigation will decrease to 1.26 meter. Increasing of subsurface drainage depth over 1.5 meter will not have any advantages and any changes in soil salinity. If irrigation water was applied with salinity more than 1.7 decisiemens per meter, soil salinity in the root zone would be more than 3 decisiemens. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mahjoub. As you have seen, maybe that's mostly simulation study. There's no much validation to the model. Just to be clear about it, so it is a model simulation, but it's not verified by experimental measurements. I just would like to clarify that point. Any question to Mahjoub? Yes, please. Say your name again and your organization. And say it in English and don't need to translate this time.
Hi, so I'm Victoria again. I'm not sure I understood with... So you're saying that with drip you can reduce the water of amount you provide to the crop by 20%. And then you... with your drains... that you put deeper, you... That's the part I didn't understand. The fact that you reduce water doesn't, with thanks to drip, doesn't affect yields and doesn't affect soil salinity. Mm-hmm. But is it the salinity, it's because of drip or because of the drain system?
No, my mean was about if you reduce by 20% of irrigation, no salinity was seen on the soil, you know, but the deeper drainage in Khuzestan is a common problem, because when the drainage is very deep, our drainage is accurate, and you don't need, for example, to have drainage, subsurface drainage with 2.2 and 1.7 or 1.5 is enough.
So okay. in your model, you take two parameters. You take the water reduction and
yes.
But you combine them.
But
you
of
don't
course,
have...
at the next item, I fixed the water irrigation in 3.2, and I didn't change the another irrigation water depth. Mm.
Okay.
Did you get it?
Thank you. Can I ask you the fundamental question? Why actually you didn't test the model against observations?
Of course, I myself had another study on this unit. Mm-hmm. About control drainage. Mm-hmm. And I check all of the simulation to data. But because of the limitation of the time and limitation of the paper, that for paper in A4, we have to prepare my presentation, and I didn't presentation for you, but it was my PhD thesis in Shahid Chamran University.
So you did test the model against data, but you are not presenting them today here.
Yes.
Okay. That's really what I want, because that's a fundamental question. And any model has got a range of possible error and accuracy or precision, whatever you call it. And that's always the reason why we have to compare the model results against measurements.
Yes, I show in picture that we have some manhole and some auger and soil sampling and other thing for giving.
Well, as long as you,
the farm, yes.
As long as you did some measurements to test on this, that's okay. You have the reporter. The reporter, you introduce yourself.
Myself, R.B. Ghote, Government of Maharashtra Water Resources Department from India. In our case, we are the largest sugarcane producer in our country, nearly 100 million tons of sugarcane and 11 million tons of sugar production. In our case, the delta applied, the depth of water applied is near about 2 meters. Then same problems of salinity and drainage problems comes in our state also. But we are switching to have a mandatory drip irrigation system for sugarcane. It will reduce 40% use of water, and yield, the production is more than 30 to 40%. And a reduction in the salinity, drainage, water table, raising of water table also, and groundwater pollution. It tremendously reduces when you apply the drip irrigation system to the sugarcane. In your case also, you are applying more than 3 meter delta depth of water. Have you tried any drip irrigation for sugarcane, or you plan? Because prevention is better than cure. That is the what we observe is in our the sugarcane growing of sugarcane in future on drip.
Has the sugarcane future with the drip irrigation?
Of course, I work on Ministry of Energy, and sugarcane is the agriculture ministry. I don't know, but because of the salinity of the soil in Khuzestan, high salinity of the soil, and as I told you about the salinity of the river, I don't think so that we can change the surface irrigation to drip irrigation. I don't know, but maybe they will do a study about the changing of system to drip irrigation on sprinkler irrigation or linear or another thing.
But actually, you raised a fundamental point. If we are using drip irrigation, do we need drainage system? That's a fundamental point. Because drip irrigation, you're not supposed to create saturated conditions. And you can only have drainage flow when you generate or create a saturated conditions. So you can cut on the cost of the drainage when you have drip irrigation system. Okay, any question to Mahjoub? Otherwise, thank you very much, Mahjoub. Thank you. Our next speaker, Albasha Rami. Is Albasha Rami around? And his presentation about performance of subsurface drip irrigation for maize under Mediterranean and temperate oceanic climate conditions.
So hello, everyone. Thank you for being here today to assist at this presentation. My name is Rami Albasha. I'm a former PhD student at the ERCA Research Institute. I'm here to present on behalf of the ERCA research team some of the works which have been done at the platform for the past couple of years. So I'm here today to present some results on the performances of subsurface drip irrigation for corn growers under two climatic conditions, the Mediterranean and temperate oceanic conditions. So this presentation outlines goes through four major points. The first one, I'm going to cut directly to the message that I want to deliver here. Second, I'm going to describe our experiments. Then I'm going to go through the results and the conclusions and perspectives. So the key message here, well, before going through that, in fact, with our institute, we had the chance to collaborate with a commercial company, which is the CRCG, who wanted to test the performances of subsurface drip irrigation in a region which is very densely cultivated with corn. So we said to ourselves, why not compare those results with them? And as you're going to notice, our experimental layouts are not typical agronomic layouts. So we don't have those small plots of repeated randomized experiments. Which leads me to say that what we found is that subsurface drip irrigation may represent an efficient technique to increase irrigation water productivity, which is defined here as the increase in yield divided by the irrigation volume supplied. However, what we found is that significant decreases in water use may not be achieved without significantly reducing the yield. So I'm using here the conditional to stay just aware, saying that it's not conclusive, but it's already an information. So what we have done, we have performed our study over two sites. The first one is located next to the city, Montpellier, on the north, at a site called La Valette. And the second one is in the southwest of France, at a site called La Mirandette, where it's near the Pyrenees, and this region is very heavily cultivated with corn. So those both sites are subject to two different climatic conditions. Here we have rather Mediterranean climate, I would say even semi-arid if you take only the period during summer crops. And we see here that typically we have very strong non-uniformity of precipitations during the year with much rainfall during autumn. And if we compare it to rainfall at the other site, La Mirandette, we have much more uniform distribution of rainfall over the year with some consequent rainfall quantities at by the end of spring. So typically, irrigation starts at this region by late June or even early July, but at here, La Valette, we start irrigation by the end of April, normally. So we have two different climatic conditions, but somehow similar soil contexts. We have here at La Valette a deep loamy soil of a holding capacity of about 180 millimeters per meter depth of soil. At the other site, sorry for the photo, it's the only one I found with infrared prey. So we have also a loamy sandy clay soil with much less holding capacity because we have a layer of conglomerates of clay which limits our water available for the crop. We have a holding capacity of about 130 millimeters per meter depth of soil. So we took as I said, our experience over corn, which is by far the crop which occupies the greatest surfaces, irrigated surfaces in France, with two varieties which are typical to the regions where corn is grown. Both varieties are semi-late, with a high grain yield potential of about 15 to 16 tons per meter, per hectare, sorry. So I recall here, our main objective was just to ask the question, would it be possible to irrigate with less water, as it's classically asked in literature, provide less water to get the same yield as we do with more conventional techniques. Here in the case of France, we compare to sprinkling irrigation. So we decided in the team to irrigate with subsurface irrigation up to 80 or 85% of crop water requirements, while with sprinkling irrigation, we irrigate it fully to respond fully to plant water requirements. So our layouts, as I said, were not so typical to the agronomic world. We had rather, I would say, big plots. We had, at the first site, two subsurface drip irrigation plots with two spacings. The first one is 160 centimeter, which means one drip line per two crop lines, which I would call here large. And the second one is the narrow spacing with 120 centimeter spacing. We had also sprinkler irrigated plots and rain-fed plot, but with no repetition. For the other side, we had similar configuration with four plots, but we had, fortunately, we couldn't use the same spacing. We had 150 centimeter drip line spacing for the large spacing plots and only 100 centimeter spacing for the narrow. So the observations are quite classic. We followed crop development with leaf area index estimations. We followed the soil water status evolution through the growing cycle, and at the end of each growing cycle, we estimated total biomass production and the grain yield production. So observations were made over subplots, which I present here by black dots, and we made the assumption so that we could at least do a small, a minimum statistic test of variance, analysis of variance. We did the assumption that these subplots would represent repetitions. So our results may be summarized as follows. Well, I'm going to go through the climatic conditions. We had at La Valette two, during both years, 2012 and 2013, somehow different rainfall amounts, going from 240 to about 200 millimeters during the growing cycle, compared to reference evapotranspiration of about 600, 660. Irrigation quantities were about 300-350 for sprinkler irrigation and about 240 for subsurface irrigation. At La Mirandette, we had an inverse pattern. In the second year, we had an over-average precipitation of about 320 millimeters, much less evapotranspiration, reference evapotranspiration, and naturally much less irrigation requirements, which goes about 200 millimeters in the second year compared to about 300 in the first. So what we found is quite classic here. With subsurface drip irrigation, we had a little bit more extraction of water from deeper soil layers. We can't say here exactly that it's the technique itself. Maybe it's a deficit irrigation, which obliged the plants to extract water from deeper layers. However, at the oceanic temperate region, we didn't have this pattern. We had only small extraction from deeper soil layers. Rainfall was much more available, so plants didn't profit from much more extraction from deeper soil layers. In terms of leaf area index development, we didn't have that much differences. I take here the example of 2012. Only at the case of La Valette, we had a significant differences between LII values between rain-fed and irrigated, but for the other La Mirandette sites, differences were much more lower, which means that water was much more available. So the biggest differences we can observe are related to irrigation water productivity, but however, we may observe that we don't have that systematic increase in irrigation water productivity over both years. If we take here, how can I? I can't use that. Anyway. Ah, okay. Perfect. Merci. So, irrigation water productivity at here at Lavalette site increased slightly with subsurface drip irrigation, but we had to use the narrow spacing to get somehow an increase, and that increase is not that noticeable. For La Mirandette, where we had, as I said, much more differences in rainfall between both years, we see here that subsurface drip irrigation in the second year was not at all better than sprinkler irrigation. When it comes to grain yield, at the more humid sites, we don't have that difference between grain yields, between irrigated plots, but at Lavalette, we have this kind of net decrease in grain yield, which means that we couldn't obtain similar yields with less water. And finally, I would say that what we usually may read in literature about optimal drip line laterals going from 150 to 160 centimeters may work in regions where we have enough rainfall during the growing season, but under our climatic conditions here in Mediterranean, it doesn't seem to work. So I go back to what I said in the beginning. SDI may represent an efficient technique to increase irrigation water productivity, but that would be on the price of a decreased yield. At least that's in the conditional terms, and that's what we found. So we need more. This kind of studies, surprisingly, still lacks in France. The only study I found on corn with subsurface irrigation dates back to like 1986. So I think things have changed since. We need more robust studies which combine water fertilizer and energy use efficiencies. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Rami. Any question? There's a question at the back there.
Hi, Rami. Thank you for your study. Very well done. I have a lot of questions.
Can you say your name?
Michael Davidson. I'm Davidson Consultants. I'm an irrigation consultant. Okay. And I've put in hectares, about 45,000 hectares of subsurface drip, mostly on cotton, but also alfalfa and a little bit of corn. So I got your spacings. Did you include the spacings between emitters, or did I miss that?
Between
emitters on your drip line.
No.
Okay, that's so a huge
concern. Could you repeat the question? Because maybe
from dripper to dripper.
Yes.
What's your spacing?
It was about 30 centimeters.
30 centimeters. Yes. Okay.
I think I did hear 40 centimeter. 40 centimeter.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And also, he's saying also 50.
No, here it's cheaper, 40.
It's 50 is cheaper, actually. and the regimen, the operating regimen, was there, first of all, the installation, this is professionally designed systems, so you're using air relief valves.
I'm sorry?
You're providing for releasing air from the lines regularly?
I don't get the question, sorry.
In a subsurface drip irrigation system, one of the most important things is having air release valves because you get...
Sure.
Okay. And a flushing regimen?
Only for the second site.
Okay. And flushing, you have to flush the lines with... Yes. Minimum at velocity?
At the beginning of each growing season. Anyway, especially at Lavalette, the system was installed in 2007, but at the second site, it was the first year, we had pressure compensating drippers. So I don't think that, drippers biofilm accumulation would have done that. Would have decreased the performances.
Okay. Well, I'll stop there. But if you want to see thousands of acres of this, come to Arizona.
Okay.
He'll pay for it. He'll pay for it.
Yeah. Yes, please.
say a question here.
Bernard Lacroix from Arvalis. You say us that no water savings with drip irrigation for maize?
Si. Sorry, yes. I said we could have that, but that would be on the price of reduced grain yield, at least what we obtained.
My question is, what is your opinion for interest, drip irrigation interest for maize in France? According your results, yes. Your...
Mine?
Yes.
Maybe that would be fertilization, but it shouldn't be based on water elements only. Maybe fertilization, maybe labor cost reductions. That's why I said we don't have this kind of studies. Maybe at Arvalis we are doing that in the... We did that in 2014, I think. You started a new experimentations. But what we did is was only the water factor, and water factor, I think, is not enough to justify to use such costly system, because typically we have over a hectare, we have between 3,000 at La Mirandette, that costs, I think, 5,000 with drip, with pressure compensating drippers and all this. I think, for my opinion, compared to sprinkling irrigation, which costs about 800 to 1,200 euros per hectare, yeah, we have to think twice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Pierre.
Good to agree.
Okay. I have one comment about this explanation, because we must take into account some regions which are very windy. We have a big problem in the Rhône Valley, and we have a lot of water losses due to the wind with sprinkler irrigation. That's the first point. It must be accounted. Perhaps in other countries you have the same problem. And the second point is that we must take into account seed production, because for seed production you have to apply less amount of water, and you have high gross margin, and so you must also take into account this aspect to choose the irrigation technique.
Yep. Okay, thank you. There's a question there.
Yes, good morning. Bertrand Pinel from the French cooperative Terena in the west part of France. Not really a question, but more a remark upon your perhaps last slide. I think we need, at least in France, and perhaps in Europe and worldwide, more robust studies lacked for agronomic experiments in France. It was a remark of yesterday of somebody in this room on drip irrigation. There are new products, new techniques that are now arriving on the market, perhaps on R&D project. And I think that at least French research, but perhaps European or worldwide, should take again part more, be involved in real scientific studies to have real statistics and other figures about drip irrigation.
What do you mean by real? I'm quite... I agree completely.
What are the reduce we can have, the reduction we can have, for example, with fertilizer? With what are the benefits upon herbicides? Not really for perhaps for SDI, subsurface drip irrigation, but also with surface drip irrigation and things like that. What are the real economy of energy, yes, and things like that?
Sure. Thank you.
I would just add one comment before we close that question session now. We had an experiment in Bologna, north of Italy, where we had subsurface drip irrigation, and it's RDI, regulated deficit irrigation treatment. We had also a PRD treatment. PRD, it's a partial root drying method, where you irrigate half of the root zone, and then you irrigate the other half. So you alternate the irrigation from one half to the other. And the results actually published in Irrigation and Drainage Journal of the first issue, volume 64 this year. And you will see from there is a water saving and a better yield with PRD. And PRD was higher in yield compared to RDI and higher than the sprinkler, higher than the furrow. And we could see there is a difference between PRD and the RDI, 17%, more or less. And we can see a difference between the PRD and sprinkler, about 25%, and between PRD and surface irrigation, up to 40%. So we have been using this 3 years experiment. It's part of the EU project called SAFIR project. And you will see that. And we are still running experiments in Bologna, also using subsurface drip irrigation. And we feel we are getting better yield under the subsurface drip irrigation. We are getting also a more water productivity under, and also we are using maize. And we are using sometimes treated wastewater also to irrigate maize. So you need really to look at the literature, and maybe you need to do more research work on this area.
I just recall that these results, as I said, are only affirmative, so we don't have to take that as a robust scientific work. So much work should have been done to validate such results. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. We have still one presentation, and actually that's one. Secretary General is telling me otherwise. So what Secretary General want to do? You would like to stop here?
If it can be just an oral presentation and conclusion and all that, will be fine.
No, there is one presentation from Yella Reddy. Yeah, go for it. With the permission of the Secretary General.
No, it's not a permission, sorry. But
yeah. Okay. Yella will be. Yeah. Well, today there was one missing. He is actually taking the slot of the presentations, the same number, really. So Yella already will be talking about sensors for water monitoring and paddy fields for improving on-farm water management. So he will be quick.
Thank you, Chair, for permitting me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last presentation. I will be doing very short. In fact, sensors for water management in the paddy fields, why the farmers are interested in India, there is an issue because at paddy fields, when we irrigate, we take a lot of water, and we are really finding water scarcity in India in almost many places. And when you want to save water in paddy fields, you have to put a lot of effort. The traditional method of irrigation, flooding, if you want to save water, a lot of effort is required. Particularly the scenario, if you look, we have a national water policy in India, which tells the first priority the domestic water supply. So because of that reason, in many projects, the water is being diverted to the domestic sector. This is one important project area where we are working, Nagaran Sagar Krishna Basin is one of the big basins in India. So we are taking water to Hyderabad city from pipelines like this, water for domestic demand, if you see. So that way, less water is available to the agriculture. So if you calculate the amount of water we take through one pipeline, we can irrigate 35,000 acres of paddy. So that's the scenario. And a lot of places now, the groundwater is depleting. Open wells, you won't see water in many places. The relevance of our study, in fact, we are conducting this study as a part of one international collaboration, Climate Adapt Project, funded by Norwegian government. We are working with IMI and also some other institutions. And we are trying to link our approach with the present-day requirements of our national water policy. It tells improve the efficiency by 20% across all the sectors. Today, we are at that stage. By the end of the current plan period in India, in every sector, we have to improve the water efficiency by 20%. Whatever we are spending, we have to reduce by 20%. So irrigation takes a lot of water. We are trying to see that whether we can contribute something to that. And we are also trying to link the things to the water footprint and virtual water approaches, water auditing, benchmarking, and also accountability. And also promoting micro-irrigation is a big thing happening in India. Okay, every state is taking up a big, huge micro-irrigation projects. And also incentivizing water use efficiency. This is one important thing. Incentivizing. First time ever in India it is spoken now. How can you incentivize water saving, water use efficiency? So why I am telling like this? Now the farmer saves water in the paddy fields. He does not have any incentive. Because the big canals carry water to the farmer field. The farmer who saves water, he will not get any benefit. The water is available to the other farmers. In such scenario, so can we link the things what we are doing to help the farmer? So this is a big challenge for us. So today, one of the important things for us is to manage water by measurement, which you cannot measure, you cannot manage. So that's why today our government has taken very important step to ensure that water measurement is taken care of. And also, this one, demand-based delivery. Okay, whatever the demands required at a field level, how to deliver that water? So for that, a lot of effort is required. You need to have your canal systems like that. You need to have the trainings to the irrigation engineers. You have to involve the all the line departments. So towards that also, efforts are being made now. So a lot of things are happening. And we are also promoting water-saving production technologies. So there was a presentation about modified SRI like that. So in India also now they are being practiced, and also alternate wetting and drying methods, rotational irrigation, and semi-dry paddy. So there are some places where farmers will seed paddy seed. They seed it, and once during monsoon it grows, then it is converted into the wet. So like that, things are also happening now. That's a big change. And when we see that, when we adopt the things, the alternate wetting and drying, yield improves and water requirement reduces. So this we are doing in the farmer fields through many projects, many initiatives. So the farmers very happy when we work with them. So they can see the improvement in the yield, because paddy doesn't need standing water. You also need some aeration in the root zone. That's what really happens in the SRI. And when we do alternate wetting and drying, so that there will be better root growth and more yield. We have realized that through our research, and some projects are also doing this one. But in order to do that, the farmer has to put more effort in managing his water. So that is the issue. So once he saves water, he has to put a lot of effort. And we also have seen different measures we compared. So at farmer fields in different areas, so when we follow these improved water-saving measures, so it saves water and productivity increases. So this has been seen without any doubt. Now the farmers have been convinced. And when we take to the field, then they question us how that we can save water, how can we get compensated for the effort. Okay, we have to put hard work there. Now this is an initiative what we have taken in our Climate Adapt project, adaptation to the climate change. So where we are training the farmers on the changing scenarios and water availability. So in one of the important basin of Krishna and Kaveri in the southern part of India. So with international collaboration, we are doing a study there. And this is a small pilot in which we tried to introduce the sensors for measuring the water. Because you know that when in paddy fields, the water comes to the starting point and it goes out from the areas, drainage water. Many places in the big canal commands, in the irrigation projects, the water will be moving from one field to the other field, then a lot of water will be again leaving as a drainage water. So now we are trying to quantify how much water actually the crop takes, the field takes, and how much. So we put the water measuring devices at the inlet point and outlet point in different places, and we have seen that how much water really is taken by the field, and then how much water is required there, we estimated. So the balancing is done, and that is being explained to the farmers how it is happening. Now, it comes, how the farmers can get advantage of our technologies and what we can take to farmers' level to convince that whatever the research developments really help them. So you see, this is the paddy field, no standing of water. So the farmer is very much convinced that he can irrigate and the crop is growing well. So in order to help him, these Bowman tubes are very simple tubes. You drill holes on the surface. So this is the tube, you see. So you just make the holes and drive into the ground, and the water depth can be seen in that. So you can see what is the water depth in the tube. So the farmer wants, the water table goes 10 centimeter below the ground, he can irrigate. Okay, that's what is very simple. So that physical appearance, if small cracks appear on the surface, the farmer can do it. So the farmer's getting convinced, okay, that way, so better aeration and better growth and more. But thing is that, so he has to go to the field to verify what is the water depth. So for that purpose, we put small sensors. The sensors will tell at what time he has to irrigate. So he also now metering the groundwater pumping and also measuring in the canals with the RBC flumes. Reploglyph Bosch Clemens flumes are being installed in the field. And this is one setup of the sensor setup in the field, what was installed. You see that here this is the Bowman tube. So here also ultrasonic sensor is placed that is connected to the control unit. So where you have Arduino, a SIM card, which can SMS to the farmer what is the status of moisture, the depth, relative humidity, temperature, and it is also powered with a solar panel. A small unit which can be placed in the farmer field, you don't need electricity there. And this is our own contribution through our project where the students have worked on this. And in fact, we have very good sensors available in the market, okay? Absolutely, there is no doubt, but they are very expensive. So here, this comes with Indian rupees of 2,000 rupees. 2,000 rupees, the basic equipment, okay, the sensors, but including the panel, all that, it cost maximum 20,000 rupees. The sensors cost is very simple, but when you integrate with a small cell phone or SIM card and a solar panel, the equipment all, 20,000 rupees to get all the four components of your is temperature, humidity, depth, and soil moisture. So the farmer can access, and no, in fact, here one of the beneficiaries there where we install that, and we are now many farmers are getting interested in that to have that in the field. So that way these sensors are installed, so farmers can have the access of the data and they can irrigate. And this is again the placement of the ultrasonic sensor on the top of this tube, which can measure the depth. Now this is how we can measure the depth of water in the canal, this RBC flume. So this helps the people who are delivering water, how much water is required for that field. By knowing the crop water requirement, demand-based delivery, we can integrate with our approach. And the same thing we are installing in the big canals to help the managers, okay? So what is the amount of flow taking place? If you have the control unit, okay, where you have the stage versus discharge relation, you can find out what is the rate of flow. So this is a small beginning we made, and it is catching up. A lot of interest is being generated. Our government wants to promote it in a bigger way. And in fact, we are now trying to do certain improvements. This is how you get the message in the mobile. The farmer can see that what is the temperature, humidity, and water table depth. So based on that, he can plan his deliveries. He can go to the field and work also. So friends, a small beginning we are making here. So all the time, we go to the farmers to tell don't waste water. So we are taking a leaf out of that. So not to go to the farmers every time, let us go to the schools. Because these are in India, if you see today, many farmers are not interested in agriculture. many places. Particularly, there are some places they don't want to do agriculture because they are incurring losses. So to create interest, so we are now how to create interest in our students, because children tomorrow they have to be in agriculture, otherwise there won't be food for us. So we are going to the schools to educate them on water efficiency, all that, and these sensors also we are explaining them. So they are taking interest and they are trying to educate their parents also. So we need education at school level. That is also, we have adopted some schools where we are training the students and we call them young scientists. We have adopted a few schools to see that they participate in water management at village levels. So in fact, I'm very happy to tell that ICID and our the National Central Water Commission is also helping us in participating our conferences and encouraging our units. I'm very happy that our Tagigar is here right now. And in fact, our central minister of water resources, Uma Bharati, has seen these developments and we are getting increased. So this is a number of people are visiting our conferences, how the engineers are being trained on that. This is being given publicity at local level. And we are equipping at Valamthari Water and Land Management Training Research Institute in Hyderabad to provide such support to the farming community. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I think we have to close the session, because there is another meeting is going to take place here. Thank you, Yala. It was very informative, and it was very interesting. Thank you very much. Tomorrow, the second session of the same working group, 9 o'clock. Please come in tomorrow, 9 o'clock.